Okay, so let's take a look at 1 John chapter 4 today. We read through chapter 3, and we'll read chapter 4 today and have some discussion about the themes that are in this chapter. We have 21 verses, so I wonder if I could request that someone would read from verse 1 to 10, verses 1 through 10 of chapter 4, and then verses 11 through 21. So, let's have both of those readers mention themselves now so we know how we'll go through. Did somebody read the first section? Kevin's making eye contact. I'm not sure if he's volunteering or not. Kevin, would you mind reading the first 10? Okay, and then someone, could another one read verses 11 to 21? Ben?
Yeah.
Good, okay, thank you.
1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also.
Good, thank you very much for reading, both of you. Just to set the stage for where we are now in chapter 4, what I would like to do is just turn our attention back to chapter 2, verse 28, where we have this phrase, now little children, abide in him, that when he appears we may have confidence, and so on. And then turn to chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So I see a little bit picking up some similar themes here, that chapter 2 ends with this exhortation after chapter 2, let us abide in him because of the truths in chapter 2. Chapter 3 has the themes that we discussed, touched on yesterday, and then concludes with this verse, verse 24, to keep his commandments, and by doing so, we are abiding in him. And then God in us. And then there's this thought that I believe brings us into chapter 4, which we didn't really touch on in detail yesterday. How do we know that he abides in us? Because he's given us his Spirit. And this sets the stage for the warning that opens up chapter 4, that there is not only one Spirit in the world. And we're going to be looking today at two big themes. Each of them is identified or introduced by this word beloved. So that we have beloved in verse 1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, try the spirits, prove the spirits. And then in verse 7 and verse 11, we have similar phrases in those two verses about love. So, beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's verse 11. So, in this section, we see that there's kind of a call to attention by calling out the names of the readers, except not their personal names, but their names as those who are loved. And when we are loved of God, when we are loved of one another, here are the two things that the Apostle John wants to get across. So I'd like to have us look, first of all, at the first section, which really goes up to about verse 6. So let's focus our attention there. And let's try to fit together these thoughts in the first few verses about these false prophets and the spirits that are identified in verse 1 and verse 2. And verse 3, and then this concept that we can overcome them in verses 4 and 5 and 6. What can we say about these spirits? It says that there are many false prophets, there are many spirits that are in the world. Do not believe every spirit. What are these spirits, and what are we facing today that would fit with this kind of challenge to true Christian teaching, to the truths of Christianity? What kinds of challenges would these spirits be? We're not supposed to believe every spirit. What does that mean? It has nothing to do with something spooky. It has something to do with something very real in terms of the spiritual battle that is part of that is going on in the world. So what are these spirits and these false teachers? How would we identify them today? What do they correspond with in our own experience? What could we suggest?
I'll make the suggestion, you can help me, perhaps. Just thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have spiritual manifestation, which is the Spirit of God who's given gifts and gives the energy to give those gifts. Now here we have the opposite, that it's not the Holy Spirit who's working, but that there's evil spirits in the world who are also able to use men, manifest themselves in false prophets. Now would that be a legitimate comparison?
I think that's very good. So the point you're making is that these spirits that are being tested in verse 1 are behind the false prophets that are mentioned in verse 1. And not everybody who uses the scripture, for example, or refers to the Bible or mentions the name of Jesus is automatically someone that we would embrace. Anything else to add to that, either from these verses or from even current experiences or teachings that we identify in our own modern world. Andre.